This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
11 minutes after 6 on this Monday morning from WSMI FM 106. Now with part one of the Morning Ag Show, we join WSMI Ag Director Gabe Osborne.
Thank you, Randy, and good morning. Because there was no trading on the Chicago Board of Trade last Friday in observance of Good Friday and the Easter holiday, we'll recap what happened last Thursday. May corn was up a quarter to 358.5. July corn was up a quarter as well to 367.25, while September corn stayed steady at 375. May beans were up 1.5 to 880.5. July beans were up 1.75 to 894.25, and August beans were up 1.5 to $9. Chicago wheat for May was down 2.75 to 444.25. July wheat was down 2 cents to 448.25, and September wheat was down 2.25 to 454.75. Soybean meal for May was down 70 cents to 303.20. July bean meal was down 80 cents to 306.80, and August bean meal was down 80 cents as well to 308. Finally, soybean oil for May was up 34 cents to 28.80. July bean oil was up 31 cents to 29.09, and August bean oil was up 30 cents to 29.24. Now we'll turn it over to the Illinois Department of Agriculture to recap last Thursday's cash grain reports.
This is Thursday's reported grain price and trend prepared by the Illinois Department of Agriculture. Illinois country grain prices were mostly higher on Thursday afternoon. It was a quiet trading day as traders prepare for a long weekend with the Chicago Board of Trade closed tomorrow for Good Friday. In northern West Illinois, country grain dealers quoted shell corn bids steady to 2 cents higher at 316 to 349. Soybean bids were 1 to 2 cents higher at 789 to 834. In central Illinois, country grain dealers quoted shell corn bids steady to up a penny at 330 to 347. Soybean bids were 1 to 2 cents higher at 821 to 842. In the southern part of the state, shell corn bids were up 2 cents at 329 to 360. Soybean bids were 3 cents higher at 823 to 854. Contract bids producers for October and November delivery corn in the northern part of the state at 331 to 359. Soybeans at 829 to 859. In the central part of the state, corn for October and November delivery at 343 to 357, soybeans at 849 to 870. And in the southern part of the state, corn for October and November delivery at 320 to 360, soybeans at 842 to 873, and June-July wheat at 419 to 453. That concludes our report. This is David Humphreys with the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
Moving on to your livestock futures from the Chicago Mercantile Exchange. Last Thursday, live cattle for April gained $1.60 to $128.52. June live cattle were up 30 cents to $122.67, and August live cattle gained 20 cents to $119.75. April feeders were up 37 cents to $145.70. May feeders were up 92 cents to $151.52, and August feeders were up 22 cents to $160.67. Finally, May lean hogs were up $1.27 to $90.20. June lean hogs were up 62 cents to $96.75. And July lean hogs were down 7 cents to $155. Now we'll turn it over to the Illinois Department of Agriculture in Springfield once more this morning to recap what happened last Thursday in the cash livestock report.
This is the Illinois Department of Agriculture with Thursday afternoon livestock report. Starting with the National Daily Direct Hog Report, calculations show a 200-pound pork carcass traded 92 cents higher in a range of 71 to 81, and with a weighted average carcass price of $77.93. From the Direct Sow Report, slaughter sow prices were $1 to $4 higher, with very good demand for moderate to heavy offerings. U.S. 1 and 3 grade sows under 400 pounds traded at 40 to 45, 4 to 5 weighed at 43 to 49, 5 to 6 weight at 46 to 53, and over 600 pounds, $50 to $57. In the Illinois direct hog trade, prices of barrels and gilts country buying points were firm, with moderate demand for moderate offerings ranging from $48 to $56. Receipts for Illinois barrels and gilts have totaled 15,640. In the direct cattle trade, the National Daily Direct Slaughter Cattle Report, choice steers and live basis trade at 126 to 131. And on a dress basis at 205 to 208. Choice heifers and live basis trade at 127.50 to 130. And on a dress basis at 207 to 208. From the National Daily Pork Plant Report, trading for retail and processing cuts was established with 296 loads traded. Calculations are a 200-pound pork carcass was $87.85, which is 85 cents higher. From the National Box Beef Cutout Port, values for choice and select beef carcasses are trading mixed. Choice carcasses are $233.06, which is 30 cents higher, while select carcasses are $219.46, which is 70 cents lower. For the estimated daily slaughter under federal inspection, cattle slaughter was estimated 122,000 compared to 111,000 last week and 115,000 one year ago. Hog slaughter was estimated at 477,000 compared to 429,000 last week and 461,000 one year ago. A recap of today's walnut livestock auction had receipts of 200. Compared to 2 weeks ago, slaughter steers and heifers sold 3 to 450 higher. Slaughter Holstein steers traded steady and slaughter cows sold $3 lower. Slaughter steers choice at 128 to 134. Slaughter Holstein steers choice at 85.50 to 90.50. Slaughter heifers choice at 126 to 132.50. Slaughter cows, breakers average dressing at 46 to 56.50. Boners average dressing at 44 to 53. And leans average dressing at 35 to 41. And slaughter bulls at $71. That concludes our report. This is David Humphreys with the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
And that's all for part one of the Morning Ag Show, brought to you by Farm Credit Illinois and by Taylor Tire and Auto of Litchfield. Time now for part two of the Morning Ag Show, brought to you this morning by the CNB Bank and Trust, with 19 locations to serve you, and by CHS. Farmer owned with global connections. With part two of the Morning Ag Show, once again we join WSMI Ag Director Gabe Osborne.
Thank you, Randy. From recent hurricanes, tornadoes, and flooding, farmers in different parts of the nation need help recovering from natural disasters. Paul Schlegel, AFBF Vice President of Public Affairs, says farmers and ranchers have an opportunity to tell lawmakers to approve disaster assistance immediately.
There's probably a conviction on both sides of the aisle that something needs to be done, but there's some political gamesmanship going back and forth that's prevented us from getting something sent to the president. So the Farm Bureau, over the recess now, we've asked all of our members when they can connect with lawmakers to tell them the time for politics has passed. We have to get this thing done because there are too many farmers hurting.
Schlegel says a congressional recess is the perfect time to connect with lawmakers.
If a lawmaker is back in their home state or their congressional district, they can see for themselves firsthand the devastation a lot of people are facing. We want to take advantage of that circumstance to make sure they know we can't wait any longer.
Schlegel says the message to lawmakers is clear.
Farm Bureau supporting the House bill of 2157 is the number of it. We want to see a legislative disaster package enacted as swiftly as we can, and we don't want to see politics prevent very critical aid going out to farmers and ranchers.
Again, that's Paul Schlegel, AFBF Vice President of Public Affairs. And with this congressional recess, Iowa Republicans Chuck Grassley and Joni Ernst joined two other senators in holding a hearing in Greenwood, Iowa, about the Army Corps of Engineers' response to Midwestern flooding. The Corps was questioned at length about what can be done to prevent or at least lessen the impact of future flooding. Grassley says the Army Corps might not be focused on the right priorities, as demonstrated by an ongoing lawsuit against the Corps.
There's a recent court case that said that the Corps is giving too much attention to endangered species, and that's interfering with flood control. And I guess I feel that flood control is the main purpose and should be the only purpose of the Corps on the river. I think that's why those flood control dams were put in place.
Witnesses at the hearing detailed the impact of this year's flooding on their homes and businesses. Several witnesses testified that the Corps should have made significant changes to its manual after flooding in 2011, but neither the Corps itself or Congress took action to make that happen. Grassley says Corps officials at the hearing said flood control has been and will continue to be its number one priority. Grassley says flood prevention should be its top priority instead of just reacting when floods happen.
My thoughts on the hearing would probably sum up. The Corps told us that flood control was always their number one priority. Kind of feel like it's their only number one priority when there's flooding, and we need to get back to basics.
Ernst says the trend of flood and rebuild must end. Moving on in other ag news, America's pig farmers continue to practice the many principles of Earth Day, which is being held today, every day on their farms. Pat Bain of Arrowsmith, Illinois, who is also America's Pig Farmer of the Year, says farmers are always striving to be more efficient. That results in earth-friendly pork production.
Our main challenge is probably to relay that to the consumer so they understand the things we do that are actually good for the environment. And I think it basically evolves around improved performance and improved efficiency. And a lot of people, I think, sometimes don't associate that with improved environment. But the better the animals we have perform, the less feed they take, the less water they take, the less space it takes, so we can have less animals and produce the same amount of food for the consumers that desire our product.
According to a new study called A Retroactive Assessment of U.S. Pork Production, it considers the changes seen from 1960 to 2015. The study found nearly 76% less land is needed to produce a pound of pork in the United States today. Pig farming also uses 25% less water and 7% less energy.
For example, some of the things we do is, you know, we have scientifically formulated diet for each stage of growth so that the animal gets exactly what they need for each growth phase and each life cycle that they go through. And so there's no waste. And we continually improve in equipment to provide that feed to the animals so there's no waste, so that all the ingredients that we work so hard to formulate to get to the animals actually gets to them, and so they can perform at their optimum level. I think that the thing that people oftentimes don't realize is the manure that's produced by our animals goes right back onto the field to fertilize the crops that they then consume. That is a complete cycle and about as a closed circle and as efficient as you can be.
The Pork Checkoff-funded study uses a comprehensive life cycle assessment approach and the best methodology available. Keeping with today's theme of Earth Day, dairy farmers are working to make their farms more sustainable as well. Here to talk about their efforts is Jill Williams, a registered dietitian with the St. Louis District Dairy Council. Jill, how are dairy farmers working toward better sustainability?
Well, dairy farmers have improved the amount of milk each cow produces, which reduces the amount of feed, water, and space that's needed per gallon of milk, resulting in less manure. So according to USDA statistics, U.S. dairy farmers today are producing almost three times more milk with about half the number of cows compared to dairy farmers 70 years ago. So it's amazing how much more milk they can produce with less cows.
And why are those cows producing so much more milk?
Well, there's an increase. The increase in production is due to genetic improvements through breeding, a focus on cow comfort, the quality and management of dairy farms, and increased knowledge of nutritional needs for dairy cows. And, you know, like they say, happy and healthy cows produce high-quality, nutritious dairy products. So happy cows are going to produce more milk.
And a few more of those sustainability practices that they also have, let's kind of go into more into depth beyond that.
So on the farm, dairy farmers are conservationists, and they use a variety of recycling practices so that they use as little water and energy as possible in the daily management of their farm. Many dairy farmers practice manure production by spreading natural manure into the soil to replenish the soil so crops grow better, reducing the amount of commercial fertilizers that are needed. Cows also are the original recycler, with the bulk of their diet including byproducts that humans actually can't digest. So, in fact, 75% of a cow's diet is not consumable by humans. Cows have four stomachs, which means they can recycle food people can't eat, like citrus pulp and cottonseed.
That's something I didn't know. I knew they had four stomachs, but I didn't know that 75% of their diet we couldn't digest.
Right.
So, and of going back to the manure spreading, that goes right back to the farmer if they produce silage, which then goes right back to the cow.
To the cow feed,
right,
yeah, exactly.
Right, so
yeah. So they're kind of just recycling over and over again. Yep.
And what are some ways as consumers that we buy dairy products, how can we manage our own food waste to be more sustainable ourselves?
Well, there's a lot of things that we can do to be more sustainable and to manage food waste. Planning is the biggest key for managing food waste. Consider foods you have on hand before buying more at the store. I know, you know, they always say don't go to the store hungry and buy things that you don't need. But buy only the amount that you can eat or freeze within a few days and plan ways to use leftovers during the week. I think one of the biggest things for me is like fresh fruits and vegetables. I always have a hard time with. I always want to buy so many of them when I go to the store, and then I just hate to waste. So I hate to see them start going bad in my refrigerator and not being able to use them up. But making healthy, nutrient-rich food choices with protein, including fresh dairy products like milk, cheese, and yogurt, is an easy way to maximize your calorie input at meals and snack times, and, you know, can help you feel fuller longer. Also, you know, just freeze foods that you don't plan to eat during the week. So, for example, if you make a casserole and you have extra portions that no one's planning to eat, you can freeze it in a freezer bag for a meal later on in the month, or, you know, for lunches or something like that. You could also portion them into single-serving containers and, you know, freeze for a quick lunch to reheat a single meal on a night you might be too busy to cook.
And also going along with that sustainability, maybe you have a few of those dairy foods that might be ready to expire. So how could we use those foods so we don't quite waste everything that we may buy?
That's right. If you have milk available, you could make a pot of cream soup. You can make macaroni and cheese. You can blend milk, ice, and a banana. Maybe add a squeeze of chocolate syrup for a quick milkshake. If you have yogurt, you can use that in baked items as a replacement for oils and fats. Yogurt is actually a great swap for oil, like in a muffin recipe or something like that. It's going to save a bunch of calories and fat and, you know, increase the protein in that recipe. You can add dry pudding powder to plain yogurt and make parfaits with fresh fruit. Flavored yogurt can be blended with fresher frozen fruit and milk for a quick morning smoothie, and even served the same way as a tasty dessert. You can chop up an apple and use flavored yogurt as a dip. Cheese, if you have larger wedges of cheese, you can shred and sprinkle over tacos, casseroles, make a pot of homemade macaroni and cheese. Cheese usually doesn't go to waste in my house. I love cheese. But you can always you can freeze cheese as well.
Okay. And when it comes to portion sizes, we might be eating a meal where we need to get rid of all this extra food so it doesn't spoil, but then we need to think about portion sizes as well so we don't overeat.
Yeah, that's right. Portion sizes are important to keep you on track with your nutrition goals. Your food labels are going to list calories and nutrients based on a particular portion size. So if you're tracking calories, just pay close attention to portions. And in order to get 3 servings of dairy a day, just follow these guidelines. So 1 cup of milk or yogurt, or 1.5 ounces of cheese. So we need 3 servings, and 1 cup of milk or yogurt is a serving. 1.5 ounces of cheese is a serving. Choose foods where you get more bang for your buck. So fruits and vegetables have larger portion sizes, but they're lower on calories. Pair like frozen strawberries with a cup of yogurt in a blender for a tasty snack. And if you're really interested in tracking calories and portions to see what you can consume, there's a lot of online resources that are available to help with that, like, you know, calorie trackers, or there's different apps that you can use and that sort of thing.
Okay. And if our listeners out there would like more information, where could they go?
They can check us out on Facebook or Instagram at STL Dairy Council. The same on both Facebook and Instagram. You can look at our website at stldairycouncil.org. We always have recipes on our website. This month we have a vegetable pizza and a vanilla rice pudding. Both of those are great dairy recipes. And if you have questions, you can email us at info@stldairycouncil.org.
And again, that was Jill Williams, registered dietitian with the St. Louis District Dairy Council. Moving on to state news on this Earth Day, school districts are set to receive thousands of trees from the Illinois Department of Transportation. The seedlings will be passed out to honor Earth Day activities, according to IDOT's Jesse Decker.
It's a way for us to replace trees that were taken out for construction or maintenance activities, and it's also a great way for IDOT to partner to improve our communities across Illinois.
The 5,000 trees were provided to IDOT from the Living Lands Project. In local livestock news, we have the latest results from Greenville from their latest livestock auction held last Wednesday, April 17th. There were total receipts of 1,020, 923 in cattle, 97 in sheep and goats. Slaughter steers and heifers traded $2 to $3 higher on High Choice and $3 to $4 higher on Low Choice and Selects. Holstein steers traded unevenly steady on High Choice and $1 lower on Low Choice and Selects. Feeder steers and heifers traded $3 to $8 higher on medium large 1 to 2s and unevenly steady on the unvaccinated, unweaned to short weaned calves and medium short 2 to 3s. Slaughter cows traded $1 to $2 higher on better cows and $1 higher on slower cows. Slaughter bulls traded unevenly steady. And remember, you can catch this full report on our website under the Ag News section, WSMIRadio.com. And finally, in local events going on in the area this week, the University of Illinois Extension Office will be hosting an ABC's of Blackberries workshop to be held at the Montgomery County Extension Office in Hillsboro. You can join U of I Extension horticulture educator Andrew Holsinger as he presents all the basic concepts for growing blackberries. This program will take place this Wednesday, April 24th, from 2 to 3 in the afternoon. The cost for the program is $5 and will include handouts. Please pre-register by visiting their website, go.illinois.edu/CJMM, or by calling the office in Hillsboro at 532-3941. The deadline to register is by tomorrow, Tuesday, April 23rd. For this Earth Day morning, Monday, April 22nd, this has been Gabe Osborne reporting for WSMI Ag News.